We know that Christ is fully God and fully man, a union of the two natures in the one divine person of the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. This means that Christ had one unified consciousness as a single person, but he also had a divine and a human intellect. So he had knowledge corresponding to the two natures. The incarnate divine person could draw from both sources of knowledge, since, if you recall, the nature is that by which a person acts. So while we cannot delve into the mystery of Christ's divine knowledge, which is equal to that of the Father and Holy Spirit, we might wonder how much Christ knew as a man in his human knowledge. The integration of these two sources of knowledge is a mystery, but on account of the unity of his person, we know he did not have a split personality. He did not switch between consciousnesses or anything like that. It was always a divine person speaking when he said, I, but he drew from these two sources of knowledge. St. Thomas Aquinas and others have traditionally specified, within Christ's human intellect, three different kinds of human knowledge: beatific knowledge, infused knowledge, and experiential knowledge. Firstly, he had beatific knowledge, the beatific vision, which the saints in heaven enjoy. Christ could not but enjoy this vision of the divine nature in his human intellect, as he was united to it from the moment of his conception. So Christ, as a man walking the earth, always enjoyed the vision of God, which the saints enjoy only after their death. So by this knowledge he knew all truths and realities from all times, though he could not know in his human intellect the infinite possibilities of what could have been or could be, since his human intellect is finite. We might ask how Christ could have suffered when he already enjoyed the beatific vision, since the saints in heaven cannot suffer. Traditionally, theologians have said that Christ willed to prevent the beatific vision from extending to the lower parts of his soul, in order that he might experience suffering for our redemption. In favor of this view, consider how Christ willed to allow his divinity to show forth through his humanity for a brief time during the Transfiguration. Secondly, there is the kind of knowledge called infused knowledge. This is the kind of knowledge angels have, infused directly by God and not gained by experience. The claim that Christ had this kind of knowledge is based on the belief that Christ's intellect could be lacking in no perfection, and so his knowledge must encompass and surpass that had by angelic intellects. To this kind of knowledge belongs principally all the supernatural truths he came to reveal, and these, of course, cannot be gained by experience. And since it is only the salvific knowledge he came to reveal, Christ could with truth say that not even the Son of Man knows the day or the hour of his second coming. That is, it is not part of his revelation. And it is fitting that Christ's human intellect would know all things in themselves, to not only know all things through knowing their first cause in the beatific vision, but also to have direct knowledge of each nature infused. Now, since Christ had these first two kinds of knowledge, seemingly encompassing everything possible to know, we might ask what possible need could there be for a third kind of knowledge. Even though Christ had infinite knowledge in his divine intellect, and beatific and infused knowledge in his human intellect, amazingly we can still say that there is something that could not be known in these ways, and that is, knowing things in a way proper to man, by sense experience. This is the incarnational principle at work again. Christ came as true man, to live as man, to know as man, to feel as man, and to sanctify every part of our human nature. But it is not possible to know in a spiritual way what can only be known through sense. So Christ may have known all the principles of carpentry in his perfect beatific and infused knowledge, but he did not know them in a human way, by doing carpentry with his hands. He knew what fasting and hunger were, but to experience physical hunger pangs is a whole different realm. This is an essential human element. Aristotle said that for man, all knowledge begins with the senses. To be perfect man, Christ could not have been lacking in this essential human experiential knowledge. It is not as if he ever strictly learned something new, but he did come to know things in a new way. In this way, we might explain the times where Christ was said to be surprised or amazed. Knowing something ahead of time is different from experiencing it. We can marvel at a sunrise even if we know intellectually it's going to happen. Regarding the statement by St. Luke that Christ as a young man grew in wisdom, many of the fathers and theologians say that this is in reference to Christ gradually manifesting his knowledge in ways proper to his age. To manifest himself in all his wisdom as a small child seems in a way unfitting. God throughout Scripture always deals with his people in a gradual way, revealing things according to our way of coming to know. We see him gradually introduce his apostles into the mystery of his passion, death, and resurrection, and even after all this, he tells them that he still has many things to tell them that they can't handle yet. We might hear all of this and think Christ is not very relatable since he knew everything. In fact, in recent centuries and decades, this made theologians want to strip Christ of his knowledge, saying he had to come to learn who he was, and even really experience temptation in a way where he could have sinned. But the basic mistake here is taking us and our experience of fallen humanity as the standard of humanity to which he must conform, instead of looking at Christ as the exemplar and ideal of our human nature to which we must conform. Dragging Christ down into our experience of humanity might make us feel less challenged and more comfortable, but he came to recreate us in his image and pull us up to his level and make us as gods.